So yeah, I'm gonna pray and then I'm gonna hand it over to Arlen. So grateful for you, bro. You carry a sharp sword, man. But I really feel like it's important, just like we come into a place of worship and we don't just rely on someone's gift to take us there, right? We don't just rely on like the sound of an instrument or the synth pads to take us there. But we actually come into worship and we engage our hearts and begin to converse and commune with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and to ask Him to take us to a different place. In the same way, when someone's, preaching a message, declaring the Word of God, we don't just rely on that gift to take us into a place of deeper revelation. But it's so important that we actually posture our hearts and position our hearts to receive from the Lord, right? Through that witness, through that ambassador. So I just want to encourage us to do that, even as I pray for Arlen. Like I said, he has a sharp sword. But we also have an invitation to come and really posture our hearts before the Lord and say, Lord, would you bring us into a place of deeper revelation? So Father, I thank you for tonight. It's our heart's cry, Lord, that we would walk away from here with fresh faith, with fresh courage, with fresh fire, with a deeper revelation. We just pray Ephesians 1:17. And we ask, God, that a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are would grip our hearts tonight, would renew our minds tonight, God. So, Father, I bless Arlen as he brings the word. I bless him as he shares the message that you've placed in his heart. Father, so much more than just a message of words, but, God, a message of a life that is lived for you, for your glory. So, Father, release your anointing upon his message, upon his life, your power, your fire. Release it, God. And release your anointing upon our hearts to go deeper with you than we've ever been. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, like Steve said, my name is Arlen. Just want to welcome you guys. This is super cool. Feels like a living room. Feels like family. So love it. Just want to welcome you guys. How many of you know there's no replacement and there's no substitute for the manifest presence of God? Come on, just have experience tonight, right? There is no replacement. Like, and I said this before in like this community, as we say this all the time, or say this a lot, and believe this with all our hearts. Like, we need that more than we need good teaching, more than we need good programs, more than we need good songs, right? Like, we just, more than anything else, we need the manifest presence of God among us.
Yeah.
We need the manifest glory resting upon our lives.
Yeah.
We're just in desperate need of it, And don't hear me wrong, like, programs and teachings and songs, all those things are amazing, right? If they're filled with the presence of God. I mean, how many of us have encountered God through a great program that a ministry has, right? How many of us have encountered God through amazing teaching or preaching, right? How many of us encounter God through amazing song or worship? Right? But there's no substitute. There's no replacement for the manifest presence of God. I was almost 14 when my dad committed suicide. And just really, my life began to spiral out of control as I basically became so bitter and resentful towards the Lord. And how many of you know when you're resentful or bitter towards the Creator, you're most likely going to be bitter and resentful towards creation as well, right? And so I just became this bitter. I hated who I was. I became so angry at my dad for what he did. And basically just came to this place. I had no idea who I was, super insecure. And I came to this place of just a desperate cry for freedom. Of like realizing that I was in so much bondage, and I was so alone, felt so alone and isolated, and realized that God is so desperately need freedom. I had no idea how to get there, right? And I would read books or read the Word, but I was just so much bondage. But something shifted which I didn't realize this at the time was exactly happening, but something shifted when I began to feel and experience the presence of God. Something shifted when I began to hear His voice. And I remember when I was, this is probably like late teens or early 20s, I just began to hear, like I said, at the time I ended up getting to hear the voice of God and experience the presence. And I just go out. I love summer evening. I go out, straw in the yard, turn on some Chris Tomlin music, and a Chris Tomlin band in the house. I listen to it much anymore, but I was just like, I would just turn the music on, and I just look up, right? And I didn't know what was happening. But like the presence of the Lord would just begin to was just coming upon my life. And I just go out and like, man, go on walks, or I love the outdoors where I encounter God the most, go out in nature. But when that occurred, like, the books were helpful, it was great. But when the presence of God began to touch my life, it changed everything.
Yeah.
It shifted everything. Yeah. And I'm so convinced. So convinced, because there's things that happen, and sometimes we don't even have words for it, right? Which is totally fine. Like, sometimes we don't even have words for what's happening when we encounter the manifest presence of the Word of God, which is totally fine. Right? We can figure it out later. That's just encounter as good as encounter the Lord, right? And we'll figure it out from down later. So, how many of you know, like, this was God's design from the beginning, right? In the very beginning, like, He walked and talked with Adam and Eve, right? He walked there in the cool of the day. He walks. And what's fellowship and communion with them, right? And obviously, like, we know the story. Like, they ultimately chose sin. And even after that, we just see this relentless pursuit. In Exodus, when the Lord, like, He comes on Mount Sinai, gives the Ten Commandments, right? Just clouds and thick darkness. Smoke covers the mountain as He comes down. And gives the Ten Commandments, and He's like, I want my presence. I want a tabernacle with me, God. Right? And then He gives the instructions in Exodus. He basically gives the instructions for the tabernacle. So Moses builds it according to design. What happens in Exodus? At the very ending of Exodus, he had the tabernacle built. What happens? The glory of the Lord just fills it, right? The glory of the Lord just fills the tabernacle. And I'm telling you, He has such a desire to tabernacle among us. Such a desire to just pour out His presence, His glory upon us. How many of you know that all of heaven, there's one thing they can't run? Right? There's one thing that had one thing, and it's around the glory and the presence of God. Right? The children of Israel, they camped, man, I love this. They camped around the glory. Come on. Yeah. Allowed by day and fire by night. You know? And I love that. Like, what does it look like to be a community that just camps? You just set up camp. Like, set up shop around the Lord. Yeah. Come on. And like, but there's so many other things, right? There's so many other things that are pulling our attention and are saying, hey, camp around this or do life around this. But man, what does it look like to just be a community, be a family that just camps around the presence? And this is our goal. Like, this is our goal as a community and as a crew here. Because His reality, His world, like, that's the blueprint, right? This is the blueprint for our lives. And man, if all of heaven is camping around the glory, if all of heaven is camping around the presence, this is not clear instruction for us. Right? Is this not a clear blueprint for us? And how many of you know, like, we need His world. Just an increase of His world. An increase of His reality touching ours.
Yeah.
Come on, we're in desperate need of it, right? Our world is in desperate need of colliding with His. Of just coming in contact with His. This is our blueprint.
Yeah.
This is our blueprint. Like, heaven is our blueprint. His world, His reality, like, this is our blueprint, guys. Camping around the presence. Doing life around the presence. Right? And like, that's not like put in a box. It's more like outside of this context, whether it's business, or whether it's family, whether it's education, whatever it is that you're involved in. Like, whatever it is you're engaged in. presence first. Right? It's presence first. And everything else is secondary. So, anyway, just wanted to share that. It's kind of a long introduction.
But, good.
Yeah, I'm so convinced, God. I'm so convinced that we need that. More than anything else. And the good news is, like, it's happening, right? It's happening. You got, actually, let me turn there. Isaiah 9, I think it is. You guys all know this. It says, I didn't choose this verse because it's Christmas, but who's excited for Christmas, by the way?
Alright!
Yeah? Who's like sick of Christmas music after about 2 weeks in? Just want to get over with. I can relate with that group as anybody here. About 1 or 2 weeks in, I'm like, okay, let's get it over with. Bring on the new year. See ya. But anyway, it says, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of the increase of his government, and of peace, there will be no end." There will be no end. "On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." The zeal of the Lord will do this.
Bring it off.
I love that. The zeal of the Lord will do this. How many of you know his kingdom is like, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world or what things look like. Like, his kingdom is ever increasing. It is ever increasing.
Yes.
And sometimes, it, whether it looks that way or not in the natural, this is the truth, right? And I love the last part of that verse. It says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." It's not the power. It's not going to be the power and the strategies of man, right? It's not going to be the good ideas of man that are going to accomplish this. The zeal, the passion of the Lord, and the word zeal there is actually very similar to the word jealous or jealousy. And many times, like, we think of jealousy in a negative way. This is actually a very positive thing.
Yeah.
The jealousy of the Lord. How many of you know he's jealous for the worship and the adoration and the relationship and the fellowship of mankind? Come on, he's jealous for the adoration and the worship of those in Asia and those in Africa, right? He is jealous for the adoration and the worship and the fellowship of those in the Himalayan mountains right now who have never heard the gospel.
Wow.
He is jealous for the fellowship and the relationship, the adoration for those right here in Lancaster County, for those in this room, for our hearts. Like, he's the bridegroom, right? And it's basically the same kind of jealousy that a bridegroom has for his bride is what he has. That's the kind of, and for us it's like, we get to taste just a bit of that, right? I'm not married. I'm sure those of you who are married can, a better understanding of what it means to the bride and the bride and the jealousy that he has for the bride. But the zeal of the Lord is going to accomplish this. And I just want to suggest that it's not about us striving or trying to somehow, like, figure this out on our own. But it's more about coming into alignment, coming in contact with that zeal, with that same zeal touching our hearts. That same zeal, like Jesus, just touch my heart with the zeal and the passion you have for the lost. Jesus, just touch my heart with the zeal and the passion and the jealousy you have for the human race. Right? Just like, just let me come in contact with a little bit of that, because I know when I do it, until it changes my life. It changes our lives. Right? Every time I just come in contact with that zeal and jealousy of the Lord. And like, it's not something we gotta like, we're not busting this up, right? We're not trying to figure this out on our own or do it our own. But it's just like, Lord, what does it look like for us just to come into alignment? Just to come in contact with that zeal. Just let us feel a bit of that zeal, a bit of that jealousy that you have for mankind. I think if like, if there's any doubt, right? If there's any doubt in our hearts regarding this, even for our own lives, right? Whether it's just lies the enemy or the accuser, like he does what he does, right? He tries to attack in whatever way he can. But if there's any doubt in our heart regarding the zeal that he has, regarding the passion that he has, right, for the lost and for mankind, for our own lives, for our own hearts, like, do we need to look further than the cross? Right? I mean, he left glory to bring us into it. Right? To bring many sons to glory. Left glory and like, is ultimately killed. Like, no king should be killed. I mean, no king should be, like, he dies the most despicable death of the time. Like, only slaves are supposed to die that kind of death. The death that he died. Ultimately, like, rises again in power, right? Resurrection power. But like, if there's any doubt in our hearts of the zeal and the passion that he has, I think this, the cross, guys, destroys it. Come on.
Yeah.
He's like, gives himself on the cross, and the message is like, this is how far I will go. I will give my life. This is how deep his zeal is. This is how real his zeal and his passion is for fellowship with mankind, for the increase of his government, for the increase of his world, the increase of his kingdom among us. This is the extent of God. So if you have a Bible, you turn to Psalm 97. Psalm 97, we'll start in verse 1. Verse 1 says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world, and the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. Verse 10 says, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints, and he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Verse 12 says, rejoice in the Lord, O righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. How many of you know this kingdom that we're part of? He's a righteous king. He's a righteous judge. And like, verse 2 says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And I was wondering, like, Lord, why righteousness and why justice? And like, why is righteousness and justice like the foundation? I do foundations for work. And how many of you know that like the foundation of a house or a building is very important? Right? Like, we don't want to be in here if this foundation's sketchy. You know what I mean? It's rather essential. Or we could have walls caving in or doing crazy stuff, you know? And so, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Now, these are legal words or legal terms that basically, righteousness has to do with this idea of being morally or legally right or just. And justice has to do with the idea of a verdict or a decree, basically done by a judge, most of the time. This idea of divine law. And I just want to say, like, we want the righteous judge in our lives. Right? We don't want, like, the judgment of man or the judgment of the enemy. Like, we actually want to welcome. It's a fearful thing. Like, right? This is what creates the fear of the Lord. It's like, New Testament says that he's the one, right? Fear the one that can actually, he's the one that can actually judge eternally. Right? Life and death. But why righteousness and justice? And here again, I think it's connected to the zeal in Isaiah, because without righteousness, we can't approach God, right? Without righteousness, there's no fellowship. There's no relationship separate from righteousness, right? In the Old Testament, like, it was the blood of animals. It was the sacrifices. It was how they attained righteousness. How many of you know it's different in the New Testament? Come on. Come on. The blood of Jesus. And like, this has to do with like declaring righteousness. It's like a declaration, like a verdict over our lives. Right? This is before the blood of Jesus, like we're talking legal access. Right? We're talking legally, the enemy has right to judge our lives. Before the blood of Jesus, right, he had legal, right, mankind rebelled, intentionally, like, chose sin, chose rebellion. And so legally, we're separated from God. Legally, he has access to absolutely destroy our lives. But the blood of Jesus, come on, speaks a better word, right? And the righteous judge, Because of the blood of Jesus, declares righteousness. Right? And like when he declares righteousness, when the judge of the King of Kings, the King of Glory, declares that we're righteous by the blood of Jesus, nothing does. I mean, there's nothing changing that if our hearts are fixed on him. I have an adopted nephew, and just love the guy to bits. First time experience, I actually drove him down to the courthouse, drove my sister, brother and sister down there, and I'd never been a part of something like this before. Never been like, it was just a whole new experience, never been at a courthouse, and I was like, this would be interesting. So we drive down there, and I guess they had like certain days, their adoption days, so there's a bunch of people there doing the same thing. And walk into the courtroom, and judge, she's sitting up on, like, you know, somewhat elevated place, and he's sitting there. Her brother and sister and some of us are sitting there, and basically asking questions. Do you swear by this and this and this, about this and this? I forget what it all was. Very short, very quick process. I was amazed. But basically, they answer the questions, and the judge gives them whatever they do their deal, sign the papers, or whatever it is. And from that day forward, legally, he's their son. Like, as if, from that day forward, it's as if he was never someone else's. From that day forward, it was like as if he was never not theirs. It was as if he was never their son. Right? And declared by the judge, like, full adoption. And how many know this is us? In the spirit. Come on. Declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. Now I'm telling you guys, when the righteous judge, when the King of Kings, The King of Glory makes a declaration of our lives. It's not to be shaken or not to be... It's not to be shaken. Not to be changed, right? Like we're brought into the family and declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Right? It says, for our sake. Man, I love this. I don't know why this just stuck out to me. I was reading this just today. For our sake. He who knew no sin. He who knew no sin became sin. I don't know how that happens. Like, how does someone that knew no sin become sin? I think there's something powerful about identification. Identifying with us so deeply, he became sin that we might, what? Become the righteousness of God. Come on. Come on. I just want to say, like, man, we want to welcome. It's a fearful thing, but we want to welcome, like, the judgment of God put on us. We want to welcome the judgment of the blood of Jesus. Right? We know, like, his blood speaks a better word. Speaks a better word than condemnation. It speaks a better word than anxiety or depression. Come on, it speaks a better word than the accusations and the lies of the enemy. And even our own hearts, right? The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. How many know he is jealous for the marginalized and the poor and the brokenhearted?
Yeah.
How many know we need justice, right? Like, there is just a cry, there's a desperate cry in so many areas of society for justice. Right? I mean, you think of some of the worst, whatever it is, whether it's human trafficking or poverty or starvation, or all these things where you're just like, man, God, there's, like, we need justice. Right? Like, we desperately need it. And the King of Glory, he's jealous for these, for the broken, for the homeless, for the poor, those caught in addiction, trafficking, whatever it is, those who've never heard the gospel. But he's jealous of these. He is jealous for the hearts and lives of these people. And I think one of the, even just one of the applications for tonight is, like, in what way is the Lord asking you or asking me to partner with that zeal, right? To partner with that jealousy that he has for mankind. Whatever area of society you're involved in what way is the Lord asking you to come in contact with that zeal and that jealousy he has for just the human race in general, right? What way is he asking you to partner with that and to manifest his glory and his reality on the earth. To manifest his values and his goodness and his love. In what ways is he asking you to do that? In what ways is he asking us to do that? Because we're ambassadors, right? We're ambassadors of that world. We're ambassadors of his kingdom. His kingdom crashing in. And you as an ambassador, in what way is the Lord asking you? Say, hey, would you partner with me in this area? Would you get my heart for this? Whatever it is. And would you manifest my love? Would you manifest my goodness? Would you manifest my kindness and my glory? To whoever it is that he's asking you to. Just want to read some verses, and you guys can turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 11. Guys, you turn there. So we come verses there. Isaiah 11 verse 1 says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." I'm so glad that we don't have to enter into that judgment seat, right? I'm so glad that the King of Glory is the one that judges. He's not biased or respecter of persons. Right? He's a respecter of man, a respecter of, yeah, of persons. But he judges righteously and with justice. And I just want to, we're in need of confidence of this, because if we're not, we're very bound to try to either enter into the judgment seat ourselves, figure it out on our own, do it on our own strength. And I'm telling you, we're in need, guys, of confidence that he is the righteous judge. We're in need of confidence of his leadership. And we're in need of confidence that he is the one that makes all things right. Right? He is the one who is so passionate about restoration and redemption. I don't know about you guys, but like sometimes I just need to be reminded. I just got to be reminded of the end of the story.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, for the joy set before him. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I'm telling you, we need the same thing. We need to know the end of the story and the joy set before us, because if we don't, there's a very good chance we get offended. There's a very good chance we'll give up heart. Right? And most of us are young in this room. I'm sure if you talk to the older folks in this room, I'll tell you, you know what? It's not going to happen in your own strength. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be the first one to say, because we can be zealous and passionate, all these things, which are great. But I'm telling you guys, it's not going to sustain us for 50 or 60 years. It's not going to sustain us for 80 or 90 years. We need to come in contact with the zeal of the Lord, to have it touch our lives. And we need to be convinced on the inside. Convinced in his leadership. Anyway, what I said, so what? Reminded of the story. But whatever it is, rant, like if it's a tough season, or life hits you, sometimes I'll just go to Revelation, I'll just start Revelation 19 and read to the end. Just start, like, right where it gets good, and, like, you just see the ultimate destruction of evil. Right? The ultimate doing away of evil. And heaven and earth colliding, the new Jerusalem coming down. Come on.
Yeah.
We need to be reminded of the end of the story. And reminded that the King of Kings, that he judges rightly. He loves, Psalms 32 says, he loves justice and righteousness. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Like, we just got reminded he's actually coming back.
Yeah.
And not just partially, but in full. The establishment of his kingdom. And we see touches of it now. We see, like, it's happening. And it's going to continue to happen because the Word says so, right? But ultimately, full justice will be established when the King of Kings returns. Right? If this is the fullness of justice were here. The King returning and establishing His home on the earth. New heaven and new earth. So that might be some of you guys. Next time, whenever, if you're, even now, maybe you just need to be reminded. You just need to remind yourself at the end of the story. If you're in a tough season, you just go to Revelation 19 and you read 19 to 23. And reminded that He is ultimately victory over sin, victory over all injustice that we currently face. Maybe some of us, like, we just need to be reminded of, we just need to be convinced of our own. We just need to be reminded of the zeal and the passion that the Lord has for our own hearts. Let alone out society, or like, it starts here. Like, if we're not convinced of our own hearts, if we're not convinced of, like, the jealousy has for our own hearts, there's no way we're going to be out, we're going to be able to go out and broadcast it somewhere else, right? Maybe some of us, like, just need to be convinced again. Because this is fuel for sustained relationship with God, right? Just continuously coming in contact with the Lord. I just want to feel just my own life, my own heart. And in that place, I go out and I have the same. Now I actually like have zeal and compassion for the lost because I experience myself, right? Maybe someone's nice, you just need to remind of that. I'm like, wow. Somehow I just lost track of that, or I just lost sight of that because of the season I'm in. And maybe for others it's like, what way is the Lord asking you, like I said earlier, to partner with His, whatever it is? The question is not whether He is. He definitely is. The question is just in what way? In what way is He asking you to do it? As ambassadors, as sons and daughters, right? In what ways He has to be partnered with that jealous zeal, with His righteousness and His justice. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Reminded of the end of the story. Awesome. I think that's all I have for tonight, guys. I'm going to hand it back over to you. Yeah, I'm just going to pray and hand over to Steve here. Yeah, always stand your feet a little bit. Some of you are on the floor of the stand. Yeah, Jesus, Lord, I thank You that You are the righteous judge. Lord, I thank You that You love righteousness and justice. Lord, I thank You that Your kingdom is ever-increasing, God. It is ever-increasing, even now, God. There's people in the hardest and darkest places of the earth. They're coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Even now, God, there's people here in Lancaster coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, Your kingdom and Your government is ever increasing. It's ever expanding. Your rule and dominion is ever increasing, God. And we just say we welcome that. We welcome that, God. Even here in Lancaster, God, we just say we're in need, God, of the expansion of Your kingdom. We're in need, God, of the expansion of Your government, God. Of Your rulership over us, God. Just for 30 seconds, God, just cry out for God.
Yes,
we need
God.
You.
Yes,
we need the breaking in God's power.
We release Your righteousness, God.
The breaking in, Jesus, of Your kingdom, Your reality in the world, God. We're in need, Jesus, of Your world touching ours, God. In a greater and greater way.
Yes, God.
We ask You, God.
Yes, God.
Let heaven.
Yes,
you touch this region, God. Touch the lands in a greater way.
Yes, God.
In a greater
yes.
way, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Arlen. I'm just going to say, I'm in this place of meditation and even what Arlen shared about the journey.